Hari. Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Gopi jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Chiravana Chahi Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Hari Vijagacharaja Asta Tarasata Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shri Shri Rukmini Dorkadish Ki Samida Bhakta Vrinda Ki Yathai Gaur Primanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga So Vas, what time to end? What's the cutoff time? 8:15, 8:20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maya yata nuktam avadite hare Kritavat tarasya sumitra cheshtitam yata hiranyaksha udhara vikramo mahamrade kridatavan nirakrita maya yata nuktam avadite hare kritavatarasya sumitra cheshtitam yata hiranyaksha udara vikramo mahamrade kritatavan nirakritam Mahayata nuktam evadite hare Kritavya rasya sumitra cheshtitam Nuktam avadite hare Kritavatarasya sumitra cheshtitam Yata hiranyaksha udhara vikramo Mahamrade kritatavan nirakritaha Maya yata nuktam avadite hare Kritavatarasya sumitra cheshtitam
Matajis. Maya, by me, yatta, as, anukritam, told, avadi, was explained, te, to you, harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krita avatarasya, who assumed the incarnation. Sumitra, O dear Vidura. Cheshtitam, the activities. Yatha, as. Hiranyakshaha, Hiranyaksha. Udara, very extensive. Vikramaha, prowess. Mahamrade, in a great fight. Kridanavat, like a plaything. Nirakritaha, was killed. Translation, Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of Godhead's coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess as if he were just like a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here, the sage, Maitreya, admits that he explained the incident of the killing of Hiranyaksha by the Supreme Personality Godhead as a straight narration. He did not manufacture anything or add interpretation, but explained whatever he had heard from his spiritual master. Thus, he accepted as bona fide the system of parampara, or receiving the transcendental message in disciplic succession. Unless received by this bona fide process of hearing from a spiritual master, the statement of an acharya or preceptor cannot be valid. It is also stated here that although the demon Hiranyaksha was unlimited in prowess, he was just like a doll for the Lord. A child breaks so many dolls without real endeavor. Similarly, although a demon may be very powerful and extraordinary in the eyes of an ordinary man in the material world, to the Lord, killing such a demon is no difficulty. He can kill millions of demons simply as a child plays with dolls and breaks them. So the text again, Maya, Yatanuktam Avadite Hare, Kritavatarasya Sumitra Cheshtitam, Yatahiranyaksha Udara Vikramo Mahamrade, Kridanavan Nirakritaha. Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, I have explained to you the personality of Godhead's coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess as if he was just like a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshuran Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. So, Maitreya is a very, very greatly learned sage. And even he's a greatly learned sage, one cannot deliver the understandings that he's giving without this opportunity of descending knowledge coming from perfected souls. The system of parampara is being highlighted in the purport, and it's essential to our whole system of transcendental realization. In the beginning of the first canto in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord is addressed by the name Adhoksaja, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Adhoksaje Ahoituki Apatiyata Yayatma Suprasidati. So, bhakti, I'll describe a little bit of a mystery. Bhakti is performed with our senses. Prabhupada highlights this in the Bhagavad Gita. The topmost system of yoga is Shradhavan Bhajate Yomam Samayukta Tamo Mataha. And Prabhupada explains this word, bhaj. Bhajate yomam, it's the root word of bhakti, and the implication of the word bhaj is, these guests need seats. Can make some arrangements so they have comfortable seats. So bhaj is the root of bhakti, and bhakti implies practical activity, engaging the senses in service. Senses, there's a problem. When senses meet sense objects, generally there's a problem, because there's an enjoying spirit behind that act. The problem is not senses meeting sense objects. The problem is the enjoying spirit. When that same activity, senses meeting sense objects, is done in a mood of service to the Supreme, who is beyond the senses, that's the meaning of this word adhoksaja, that's the means of realizing adhoksaja. Bhakti requires submission unto that Supreme who you cannot perceive with your senses, but you're supposed to use your senses to serve him. You see the dilemma. The subject that we want to know is the Supreme Lord. He's beyond the senses. He's at Hoksaja. And yet we're supposed to use our senses to serve he who's beyond the senses. And by that, so it's the act of submission to the Supreme who's beyond the senses. Submission in love. In practical activities. Not just contemplation. Or some affectation, some feelings. With tears dripping down the side of the cheeks. With some feeling. That's nice. But practical activity is the real essence of it's the love and devotion through the medium of those practical activities, because the practical activities purify the senses and purify the mind, because the mind and the senses are seeding places of lust, and without purifying those coverings, it's not possible to conceive of within the mind, to perceive with the senses the object, the Supreme. Adhoksaja. Bhakti yogam adhoksaja. So this verse is addressing, the Bhagavatam verse is addressing, the first canto verse is addressing the answer to the sage's question, what is the topmost form of activity described within the Vedas? What is the essence of Dharma? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Adhoksajay. And one cannot be satisfied, supersedati, then there's a qualifier. Unless that service is performed without material motivation, that is, the mercantile mentality of what's in it for me, without that purposeful, selfish purpose of motivation, simply to serve the Supreme, who is beyond the senses, Who does such things in this world? Who serves selflessly another person? What to speak of another person you cannot even see? Who does that? Somebody who's not of this world does that. Ahoituki. Hetu means cause. And ahetu means without cause. No motive. Unmotivated service. With your senses. Coming in contact with sense objects to the master of both. Who you can't see. What's the impetus for that? It's the weight of the hearing in this descending system of knowledge. Who is that supreme? Someone discloses. Who is this most wonderful person? Not just a concept. In the previous verse and purport, there was a discussion of the concept that's mentioned within the Vedas of the Supreme who is all-pervading. So the conception of the Supreme being all-pervading has lots of subsets. Some people think the all-pervading is matter. I was recently visiting it, just to make it contemporary, I was visiting at Loyola University. And one student said, that we somehow got off in a discussion. Oh, I know how we got off on this. We're discussing this system of descending knowledge. The fallibility of ascending knowledge, same point. And the Vedic system is descending knowledge. So one person asked, the whole question's got on a roll. One person was asking, is it possible to be religious without being spiritual? Or is it possible to be spiritual without being religious? I thought, wow, this is a good group. At least they had some conception of the difference between the two. Most people, it's just a blur. So religious means that you live your life according to the codes of religion, just like Prabhupada said. Religious person is, there's laws given by God, and you follow those laws. That's a religious person. Just like a good citizen, there's laws, you follow the laws. They're a good citizen. A religious person obeys the laws of God. And there's a whole notion out there, I'm sure you know the California versions of it, of being spiritual, where there is no conception of following codes. You're just spiritual. And whatever that means depends on the person being spiritual. And it's not only California, it's all over the country. It's very fashionable. A common idea is just, is basically, it's the old one. Be good, don't hurt anybody. Ahimsa. Be situated in whatever your idea of the mode of goodness is, whatever that is, and try not to hurt anybody, whatever that is. And that's spiritual. That's a spiritual person today. But this individual asking the question had a whole other idea. So then another person said, what if somebody doesn't have any faith in God? Can they still be a spiritual person? I said, what do you mean by that? No faith in God, but be a spiritual person. Because we made this distinction, spiritual means connecting with the supreme personality of Godhead, not just being in the mode of goodness. Connecting with this, is it possible to be spiritual without having faith in God? What do you mean? Well, somebody I know, and they basically describe pantheism. God is everything. So I don't have this individual that doesn't have faith in another entity, God, just because God is everything. So they don't really have faith in God, but they're a spiritual person. Is that possible? The answer that I gave was that that's a very low end of the notion of being spiritual. What's the verse? Prithaktvena Bahudha Mukham. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, in a very liberal stretch, accepts Ekatvena, those who worship one, worship the Supreme as oneself, Bahudha, one who worships many, and one who worships the expansive energies of the Lord, the sense of God being all-pervading in that conception. Very liberally, Krishna accepts them as also his devotees. Lower end, but in a very liberal expression, Krishna accepts like that. Or in the purport here is the more common idea, the all-pervasive is Brahman. But the Paramatma is also situated everywhere. And here we're hearing the narration of the all-pervasive Supreme appearing as a transcendental boar, and then he returns to his abode where there's always a big festival going on. Who can understand that unless one hears from disciplic succession? Even it's in the scripture that there are these diverse manifestations of the absolute truth. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti Shabyate, Vedanta Tat Tatva Vidvas, Tatvam Yaj Gyanam Advayam. They're all of the same Advaya nature. Who can understand it? Who can even put the puzzle pieces together? And even if someone gets the conception, like just like Maitreya, he was very advanced in knowledge. Vidura, he was very advanced in knowledge. When he was still in the palace, he was always considered very, very wise. But after so many years, I calculated it out, it was something like 35 years he was on pilgrimage, where he didn't see anybody or anything other than holy places. When we go on a pilgrimage, it's for a month, 2 months, a few months maybe. Someone may go for an extended 6 months. 35 years, Vidura was on pilgrimage. And then Vidura met Uddhava and Maitreya. And when Maitreya is imparting knowledge, it's not gyan. It's not theoretical understanding. He is imparting transcendental realization. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyananam. Gyaninas tatva darshana, the kind of knowledge by which one can see transcendentally. So how does this seeing transcendentally take place? I find that it's one of the besides just one of the fundamental doctrines of our Krishna consciousness movement, the system of parampara, which Prabhupada speaks about again and again, when we introduce Krishna consciousness to other people, it's such an important understanding to explain. And I'll just share a little bit of something that I've been doing in the course of my preaching. Part of what, and Savas will particularly relate to this, this is a bridge-building exercise. In order to reach people who don't have a clue about, even if you say the system of descending knowledge, it doesn't compute because there's no experience of it. Knowledge that isn't dependent upon your senses, which are imperfect, or your mind, which makes mistakes. A descending system of knowledge. It's interesting, but they don't connect. So part of the thing to help people connect is to go across the bridge into their realm and have them understand what it is about the system of knowledge that you're now applying in greater detail, how it doesn't work. And then even within that system that doesn't work, how it can confirm things that are within the transcendental realm. I've been presenting Sataputta's Mysteries of the Sacred Universe, now and again at different places. And one of the first, before I make the presentation, I explain that the hour that you're going to spend attending this presentation is worthwhile for the following reasons, at least I feel worthwhile. And one of them is that it's very interesting. And one of the most interesting things about it is that all of what you're going to see and hear doesn't come from technology or sense perception of any kind. And build a little case saying the Western view of how the universe is situated has been undergoing many transformations from the Greek times of astronomy. They were off by a factor of 20, like just the distance between the Earth and the Sun. Off by a factor of 20 is way off. And then improving technology, telescopes and better means of judging things. They got better, but still way off. And then neo-modern times, way off. Now we have Hubble telescopes that you can mount on a spacecraft and send it wherever you want to send it. Go zooming around Mars many times, take pictures, send electronic pictures back so the scientists can look at them, instruct the camera to take more pictures, send those back, measure by breaking apart the wavelengths of light, the light coming from different stars, and based on redshift theory, how fast the planets are moving in what direction. Then you get a picture of the universe. However, this Vedic picture of the universe matches one-to-one with this modern high-tech picture of the universe, numerically, quantifiably, where things are at what speed and the radius and how long it takes for an orbit to everything in great detail. So that's a bridge. You go across the bridge and say, through your senses, you can conclude these things. Way over here on this side, where it's not the use of senses, I amplify it many times, it's such a close match, but no technology. How? How is it possible? It's building faith in the body of knowledge that's over here that's without sense perception. It has a different system of knowledge. Quantifiable things. I don't want to get too far afield. I'll just mention one other thing. Historically, when European scholars started taking an interest in Vedic teachings, it was in the early 1800s, 1830s, in that time period. And they got really excited. They started finding many, many interesting things. And it was a pendulum. There was a big wave of scholarship taking interest in Sanskrit literature. There was a reactionary group. The pendulum started swinging the other way. The reactionary group were invested Christians who thought, this is terrible. This is going to diminish the singular focus that we have over here in Christian doctrine, because these teachings are not only teachings, they have a theology. So they started bad-mouthing over here, those scholars and all of that stuff over there. And this is where at the beginnings of mythology and Indology and all that stuff. But they specifically said, as time progresses and things that are measurable, and they specifically said, Bigelow was the guy, Bigot I should have been called, but Bigelow, that in these two areas, the areas of numerical, quantifiable things, the Vedas speak about the planets. So as our systems of astronomy become better and better, we'll plow the stuff underground where it belongs. And also evolutionary theory. We'll plow the stuff underground. As, you know, just like on the piggybacking with Darwin, as the archaeological evidence is uncovered and we can prove this evolutionary theory, the whole idea that comes from the Vedas of such ancient cultures that predated Christ, forget it. Plowed underground. Well, so these are two very important areas to respond to. But the particular point that I wanted to make is this descending knowledge. There's to help establish faith or credibility in this descending system of knowledge, we sometimes have to cross the bridge, not just hold our own saying, your system is rubbish because it's not based on descending knowledge, but even go into the high technology systems, and they're finding again and again and again the Vedic system is validated. It's a whole contemporary field of study in academia where they're using modern systems of studying things and finding, voila, it's validating the understandings found within the Vedas, at least in biological and other empirical levels of study. It's a faith builder. So it's part of a strategy for preaching to help build people's faith in this body of knowledge in areas that they can relate with and feel comfortable with and verifies the system of knowledge that can be verified, so they're ready to go another step across the bridge. Because it's not just that we want people to study Prabhupada's books. If scholastic people of a non-faithful bent only study the Vedas, they're going to come up with contortions, distortions, and goofy ideas, offensive ideas. We want people to have faith in the system of descending knowledge. So different things that can help different people come to that stage of descending knowledge. That the descending knowledge means that one can access higher truths by higher consciousness. And our access of that higher consciousness is through devotional service. Devotional service starts with hearing and chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. And it includes practical activities. Bhakti Yoga Madhoksa Jay. I was considering narrating. I'll go there. The consciousness of Maitreya cannot be measured by any kind of material system. The knowledge that Maitreya is passing on is not just academic, intellectual processing. He's the emphasis in the verse is that he's narrating only that which he has heard from his predecessor, spiritual master. But when doing so, immense spiritual potencies are invested in those narrations. One who has faith not only in the factual information, but has faith in those spiritual potencies, and can derive great spiritual benefit by taking into their heart those great spiritual potencies. So we have descriptions of very, very advanced devotees who physically are on this plane with us, but spiritually their consciousness is somewhere else. I'll give two examples out of hundreds, but one classic example is the example of Dukhi Krishna, who became Shyamananda. Dukhi Krishna was a disciple of Hridaya Chaitanya, and he was sent to study with Jiva Goswami. In the course of studying with Jiva Goswami, Dukhi Krishna wanted some service. So he was given the service of cleaning a grove, a bower, a place where persons during the daytime would go, and they were, just like we go to Vrindavan, here is a place where Rasa Leela is performed. So we see so many such places. So he was given humble service by Jiva Goswami. You take this broom and clean the place. Make it clean for Krishna. So in the course of doing that service, his consciousness was absorbed in on a spiritual plane, serving Krishna. And one day he found an ankle bell. And because of lack of time, I won't go into the detail, but the ankle ornament was an ornament of Srimati Radharani, who, when performing rasa dance with Krishna one night, it came off her ankle. And Dukhi Krishna found it. So, on one level, simply cleaning a place, just like this is Krishna's temple. After we all leave, somebody's going to come and clean up the flowers and do different services. And the consciousness that they're in can be in the consciousness that Dukhi Krishna was in, and actually experience, although on this level, using the senses to serve the master of the senses, connecting with Adhoksaja. That's certainly possible. Or one can think, gee, I wish I didn't have to do this service and not do such a good job of this service and not be in Vaikuntha consciousness, not be in spiritual consciousness. Still, that's purifying for that individual, but their experience of the happiness of Krishna consciousness will be restricted because of that. It's the one issue of the flow of loving attitude of service to the Supreme Lord. I heard Prabhupada say on three different occasions when visiting in New York, and I know he said this in other places, this temple is not in New York. In Brooklyn, several devotees were serving in that temple for some time, the Henry Street Temple. Prabhupada said, this temple is not in Brooklyn. It is in Vaikuntha. Yay, Prabhupada. And he said the same thing when Radha Govinda moved to Manhattan. This temple is not in New York. It is in Vaikuntha. So we walk out in the street and it doesn't look like Vaikuntha. But if our consciousness is, this is Krishna's temple, Krishna's not going to reside any place other than in the spiritual world. So we can be in this world using our senses to serve he who is beyond the senses and have an experience of some transcendental exchange of loving moods of service. As we're extending that mood of love toward Krishna, he will extend towards us. So the rest of that Dukhi Krishna story, not only found the ankle ornament, but one of the gopis came to retrieve the ankle ornament, and they took Dukhi Krishna to Radharani, and she pressed the ankle ornament on his forehead and gave him the name Shyamananda, which became then a big issue. Has he taken reinitiation? It's a nice story to know about, because the whole notion of reinitiation was an aparad. So Vidya Chaitanya came with all the mahants from West Bengal to find out from Jiva Goswami, have you reinitiated my disciple? Although he sent him to him, respecting him as a senior Vaishnav, the idea of reinitiation was out of the question. It was against proper etiquette of Vaishnav conduct. It was a violation of a spiritual principle. Anyway, in the presence of his spiritual master, although his body was sitting there in a pose of meditation, he spiritually went to that same place and expressed to Srimati Radharani the great difficulty that he was in. his spiritual master was thinking that he had been violated in his faith to his spiritual master, which didn't happen. So he was protected. So I'm looking at the clock and our time has expired. So the main message I wanted to communicate is this one. As Vidura is hearing with great faith from Maitreya, who heard with great faith from his predecessor, spiritual master, this is the system of disciplic succession. And when that hearing with great faith takes place, one's consciousness, by the spiritual potencies of those messages, one's consciousness is carried to the Supreme Lord at Hoksidja by the practical activity of rendering service to that Supreme. We have to have the right conceptions. Therefore, hearing is necessary. Being carefully trained is necessary. Being faithful and submissive is necessary. And when that combination is there, one can then enter into that mysterious realm, the realm of realization. So now we're largely in the stage of purification. The purification is meant to carry us into the stage of realization. Realization of our relationship with the personality of Godhead. That's actually what we should be aspiring for. And while experiencing that relationship with Krishna, following as an assistant of the disciplic succession, giving that same message to others, just as we've heard it from others, from our predecessor, spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Keep within your time limits. Any discussion? Comments, anyone? Yes. I got about half of what you said. I don't clearly understand what your question is. Speak a little louder. Brigopati is going to help me. That's your question. Do Mayavadis also require descending knowledge? Is that your question? That's your question. These principles are universal principles. They're not pertinent to Vaishnavism, and they don't have anything to do with the other. They're universal principles. Because of the... sense control and mind controlling the mind and faithfully serving a spiritual master is the means for helping to accomplish those. And the spiritual master in the impersonal school will give certain instructions, and following those instructions but will help the student come to the stage of Brahman realization. What the factor that's quite different is the reciprocation from Krishna. The Krishna factor. Now, one cannot achieve any realization. One cannot walk across the floor without Krishna's sanction. Can't blink our eyelid. Can't do anything without Krishna's sanction. So Krishna's sanction is also there in the case of Brahman realization. However, this process of bhakti, Krishna directly, because of the nature of bhakti being, we extend ourselves in a dependent mood upon the personality of Godhead is imbued with inconceivable potencies. As we extend ourselves that way, he extends himself to us. The other is not invoking the descending mercy of anyone, because there's no sense of anyone. It's just one's own efforts. There is built into that system a system of respect for the teacher or guru. And stepping outside of that leaves one outside of the realization. Okay? Yes. Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah. Right. Right. That's right. That's right. So, yes. Well, I was thinking the same when preparing for the class, and I even did a little initial folio search to find, and I didn't find. So, who is Brahma the son of? Who is Maitreya the son of? Is he one of the direct sons of Brahma? Does anybody know that one? He's not. Yes. Huh? Okay. We'll ask Bhrigupati to research it. But I don't have the answer. But certainly because he heard from Krishna, one of his spiritual sisters. So he heard the conversation when Uva was spoken to. So here, direct from Krishna. Yeah, but it's not. It's a gig of the day. Okay, thank you very much. The Prabhupada Ki Jai.
gane shab shaki gane tu si te ju gana gane tokon krishna lila iri prakriti sundari vistari che shobhabone ami jo Jamu kanone